Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We've looked at three current events. We will be looking at a fourth by the time we finish the series. Current events that I wanted you to know about. The last one that I commented on was the World Government Summit, which was similar to other summits. For instance, the Earth Summit in Rio, which was back in 1992. There's been several, and of course, the keynote or the key idea behind so many of these are that we really need globalization. We need to get rid of the nation states so we can save Mother Earth and heal Mother Earth from the destruction that mankind, capitalists, are bringing, and fear and intimidation to bring people under the control of a world government. And why would that be interesting or important to us? Well, because we know that the Antichrist will come, and he will set up not only a one-world religion, which I've spoken about in detail with some of the other current events in the series, through ecumenism and interfaith movements, but also, of course, he will have a one-world government, which you cannot participate, buy, or sell anything to survive without taking his mark. You will be forced to be a part of this world government, this globalization move that we're seeing. These are all pieces of the puzzle, and it's been taking place for some time, of course, and I've been addressing that in some of these articles, but I've referred to several articles in the past, and I'll probably refer once again to one called Rio and Beyond in the New American magazine, which is also the magazine that at World Government Summit, globalists push the UN Agenda 2030. So this is a recurring theme that is being used to try to scare people into giving up their sovereignty, our nation states. If you're a nationalist, that's supposed to be a bad thing. Well, that's because these are bad people. Bad people are, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. These are evil people. These are deceived people. These are people who need Christ. Or they will, of course, one day be judged by God Almighty and suffer for their arrogance towards the Almighty God. But they're evil people in that, and they're fake people because they're claiming they're doing this to save mankind, and because we all need to realize that we're all God, and there is no God that's going to help us or save us outside of ourselves. And so, therefore, we need to help put this all together. And so, of course, when the Antichrist does come and the foundation is being laid and has been laid, they will worship him in their deception. And that's, of course, very sad. But that's all the more reason for us to get out and share the Great Commission that Christ told us to share, to let people know that Christ is going to return and that there's a terrible time coming known as the Great Tribulation, where God's going to judge this world in a greater way than he ever has in the history of mankind. And the imminent return of Christ is coming at any time for his church, for his bride. But he's not coming for the harlot church, okay? Not coming for the unfaithful false religions that are all works religions, that are all dependent upon man's works rather than the grace of God and what Christ has done for all of us and dying in our place and being judged by God in our place. So it's a sad thing that people are deceived, but that's why I have a program called Deception in the Last Days. And by the way, let me just encourage and exhort you to pray for me. I would appreciate your prayers. In my ministry, I can certainly use them for spiritual support. Just pray for strength and health and all the things that I need to serve the Lord and hopefully provide information that's helpful to you and that will encourage and educate and bless you, hopefully give you more discernment. But thank you for tuning in tonight. And so I left off in an article that was based on a book called Report from Iron Mountain, and the subtitle of the article is Using Fear to Make People Subservient to Government. It's an article by G. Edward Griffin, written all the way back in 2002, but still very, very relevant. The book, Report from Iron Mountain, was actually written in 1966, but the the interesting part about the book is that it talks about a so-called secret get-together, a think tank of people trying to come up with a way, a substitute for war, to keep people under control, basically. Because, we fear this thing that's coming, so we need this government to help us. Only in this case, of course, it'll be a world government, not a nation-state government. God's idea was for there to be nation-states, at the Tower of Babel. We know that's what God's plan was. Mankind intended once to try to come together in this way in globalism, and God shut it down. Well, he's going to shut it down again, but there's going to be a brief period where the Antichrist will rule, and all these building blocks towards a world government, we can see all around us if we have eyes to see. So I want to continue in this article. I left off, we were talking about a man named Maurice Strong. I don't know if this man's still alive or not, but he's one of many movers and shakers. He was spoken of in the article called Rio and Beyond, concerning the Earth Summit in Brazil back in 92. He may be gone. I don't know. But his name comes up in this article, which I think is a fascinating article. He talked about, or the article talks about, that Maurice Strong was, gained his wealth through Canadian oil. He nationalized the oil in Canada, and of course promotes everybody else being careful and not, not using up the resources of Mother Earth, while the article says that, who is this Maurice Strong who sees the United States as the environmental aggressor against the world? Does he live in poverty? Does he come from a backward country that is resentful of American prosperity? On and on and on. None of the above. He's one of the wealthiest men in the world. He lives and travels in great comfort. He's a lavish entertainer. In addition to having great personal wealth derived from the oil industry in Canada, which he helped nationalize, he was a secretary general of the 1992 Earth Summit. He was ahead of the 1972 UN Conference on Human Environment in Stockholm. Here we are. And the first secretary general of the UN Environmental Program. President of the World Federation of United Nations, co-chairman of the World Economic Forum, member of the Club of Rome, trustee of the Aspen Institute, and a director of the World Future Society. That is probably more than you wanted to know about this man, but it is necessary in order to appreciate the importance of what follows. Now, this is, of course, an article written in 2002 about a book written in 1966, and that's why, of course, there are other movers and shakers besides this man and what he's done in the past. But all of this kind of tied together to me because I was trying to show the progression of these summits and this attempt, of course, to continually promote the idea of world government. So this is why I'm talking about this individual. But when the article was describing his lifestyle, lavish entertainment, etc., I thought Hollywood. I thought of the typical Hollywood hypocrite. Which reminds me, I meant to mention, I have done a longer series about Harvey Milk and the liberal Democrats of his time that he was, metaphorically in bed with, Harvey Milk was the homosexual who was, and the liberal Democrats were, in bed with Jim Jones, the cult leader, and that was the 40th anniversary of that event, and he was assassinated. And if you've heard my podcast, you know all about it. But he was a homosexual who is like the patron saint of modern homosexuality. And they have Harvey Milk Day out in California and everything else. And the only reason I bring him up, and I meant to say this earlier, is the idea that zero population growth, for instance, that group and other of these globalist type groups, they want to deal with things like wars of mass destruction, overpopulation, pollution, and depletion of resources. Well, what are a couple of the answers to overpopulation? Abortion, killing babies, reducing the number of people on the planet, gay marriage. Can gays reproduce? Well, no. Well, there's a good way to help reduce You know, and I say this because, of course, we've seen the insanity that's broken out, and Harvey Milk Day and such events. And so I wanted to, I'd wanted to mention that earlier, since I had had a long series pertaining to the Harvey Milk phenomenon. You know, who was metaphorically in bed with Jim Jones, along with the liberal Democrats in California at the time. So I had wanted to mention the fact that. You see the progression, of course, in the homosexuality movement. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, and we know Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I think we'll lose the culture war. I think we're losing it. I think we're looking around and we're saying, wow, what's happening? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. Jesus Christ is going to come back. You know, probably, it's probably not real far off. So the imminent return of Christ, he could come at any time for his church. So be looking for his return. And get out the good news of the gospel, the Great Commission. Let people know, you know Christ. You know you're going to be with him. You're not going to be a part of this great trib. I'm a pre-trib person. I don't believe we're going to be here as a part of this. But even if we were, we still need to preach the gospel to people. We still need to let them know that they don't need to go to hell. That's most importantly. So anyway, but I just wanted to mention that Harvey Milk has had such, you know, and Hollywood with the gay movies, including the Bohemian Rhapsody, which is out now, which is the story of the sodomite Freddie Mercury of the group Queen. You know, Hollywood always endorses and promotes these things. And, of course, this is why we're in the pickle that we're in, so to speak, that in the promotion of these globalists. Because, oh, well, you know, we got to have zero. There's no God out there that's going to help protect us. We got to stop, you know, this population growth in this world. Anyway, I didn't want to forget to mention that. So, anyway, getting back to the Maurice Strong information, etc., it says, a plot for economic crisis. Maurice Strong believes, or says that he believes, the world's ecosystems can be preserved only if the affluent nations of the world can be disciplined into lowering their standard of living. To bring that about, those nations must submit to rationing, taxation, and political domination by world government. They will probably not do that voluntarily, he says, so they will have to be forced. To accomplish that, it will be necessary to engineer a global monetary crisis which will destroy their economic systems. Then they will have no choice but to accept assistance and control from the UN. Who knows how it's all going to fall together or fall apart. The prophecy's falling together, the world's falling apart, but you know, who knows how it's all going to play out. But we see the efforts are strong. We see the demonic forces behind the human beings. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But there's plenty of flesh and blood that are being used in this, laying the groundwork for the Antichrist's kingdom. This strategy was revealed. No, skip that. I'm sorry. Okay, almost through with this report. It is not important whether or not Maurice Strong's plot for global economic collapse is to be taken literally. What is important is that men like him are thinking along those lines. As an individual named, okay, a guy named Wood pointed out, they are in a position to do it or something like it. If it is not this scenario, they will consider another with similar consequences. If history has proven anything, it is that men with financial and political power are quite capable of heinous plots against their fellow men. They have launched wars, caused depressions, and created famines to suit their personal agendas. Of course, they're all puppets of the Antichrist when it comes right down to it at the end. I'm throwing my little point in here. But we have little reason to believe that the world leaders of today are more saintly than their predecessors. Furthermore, we must not be fooled by pretend concern for Mother Earth. The call to arms for saving the planet is a gigantic ruse. There is just enough truth to environmental pollution to make the show credible, as a report from Iron Mountain phrased it, but the end of Earth scenarios which drive the movement forward are bogus. The real objective in all of this is world government, the ultimate doomsday mechanism from which there can be no escape, well, except through salvation by Jesus Christ, of course, for us Christians. Destruction of the economic strength of the industrialized nations is merely a necessary prerequisite for ensnaring them into the global web. The thrust of the current ecology movement is directed totally to that end. All right. Now, here's the patron saint of global warming from a few years back. As we move to wrapping up this segment of the current event that I related earlier, and that current event being the World Government Summit. Does anybody remember Al Gore? Al Gore, of course, almost became president of the United States, and he wrote a book called Earth in the Balance when he was a senator, and this book, the subtitle was Ecology and the Human Spirit. And here's where, you know, Baptist Al Gore, or supposed Baptist, supposed Christian Al Gore, got all New Agey in this book. But just some comments from the back cover are interesting. In this eloquent and unusual memoir of discovery, Al Gore faces honestly the unremitting evidence of science. The result is a powerful summons to abandon apocalyptic despair for the politics of life and hope. Well, except for the apocalyptic despair of environmental destruction. Anyway, Earth in the Balance, that was Bill Moyers from the PBS, the liberal TV program, TV network. Earth in the Balance, this is M. Scott Peck, who a lot of people thought was a Christian. I won't go into a lot of that right now, just to say that he was pretty clearly not by the writings of what he wrote and where he spoke at mind science cults, gatherings, etc. Earth in the Balance is a brilliantly written, prophetic, even holy book, clearly pointing the way we need to change to the way we need to change to assure the survival of our grandchildren. I pray it will have the dramatic impact it deserves and must have for our collective salvation. Please read it. That's M. Scott Peck. And then Carl Sagan, the famous evolutionist. A global environmental crisis threatens to overwhelm our children's generation. Mitigating the crisis will require a planetary perspective, long-term thinking, political courage and savvy, eloquence and leadership, all of which are in evidence in Al Gore's landmark book. All right. let's see here. All right. Now, that was one of the books that he wrote. That was the earlier book that he wrote of the two that I'm familiar with that addressed climate change or global warming, etc. And he's made a fortune off of it, of course. And like so many, like Maurice Strong and others, I don't think he put away his jet, you know, to help save the, you know, the air or the ozone layer or what have you. But like so many of these folks that are in high places of power, they're promoting this, what the report from Iron Mountain describes as one of the potential substitutes for war in helping to control people and helping to control people out of fear. And I just wanted to include his books here on the tail end of this world government discussion, which of course I describe it as building blocks towards bringing the brief reign of Antichrist. Antichrist is going to get a big boost from his lying signs and wonders. You know, the devil is going to, of course, be promoting him through supernatural power. And who knows, maybe there'll be an appearance from E.T., you know, coming in and saying, hey, yeah, you got to listen to these guys because you're messing up your planet and you're going to mess up the solar system and it's a chain effect. And so we're coming here. That, of course, has been, that's been supposedly spoken by aliens from other places about our military and how we've got to stop dealing with nukes and we got to stop dealing with war and, you know, they need to impose peace upon us. So, I mean, these are all just scenarios, of course. These are, the Bible doesn't say it'll be an alien invasion or anything else. And I'm kind of, digressing a little here, anything should be considered at this point, this late age that we're living in, this late time, I think, in the near return of our Lord, because this is the first time, and then I'm going to get back to Al Gore, but, you know, think about it. We haven't had the opportunity To even consider alien invasion, even in that book, 1966, Iron Mountain, that wasn't seen as a feasible means to control people because there hadn't been that much alien sightings, et cetera, at the time yet. Well, the times they are a-changing, and over decades now, there's been so much promotion of the alien presence and UFO agenda and all this other stuff in movies and everything else, that you can't disregard that possibility. And because people worship technology so much now, if someone supposedly came from another planet and said, hey, here I am, you know, I've got the answers, the technological answers. You know, a man once wrote, mankind is not looking for a theological messiah, but he's looking for a technological messiah. John Weldon, one of my favorite apologists, he wrote several good books from a Christian standpoint on UFOs, and he pointed that out, that we're ripe for that type of thing. We have the environmentalist issues, we have the UFO alien presence type stuff. There's all types of different scenarios, of which I don't claim to know, because the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how Antichrist will gain power and all that he will do. But both of these fit nicely into the end time scenarios, I believe. And Al Gore was just another puppet of the principalities and powers to help promote this fear-mongering concerning climate change and all the other stuff. Hey, my God, my Father in heaven, Jesus is my, not only is the great physician, but he's the good shepherd. And, God said, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. You know, am I supposed to be worried? Oh, I got to turn to the world government, or, you know, I got to turn to this messianic leader that's going to appear on the horizon someday, or step out of a UFO or whatever. No, no. Jesus Christ will be seen in the sky as he left. He will be seen again when he returned, he said, or it was written in the Word of God in first chapter of Acts. So these poor folks don't have a Savior. They don't have a shepherd as we Christians do, and that's why we need to warn people and share the gospel with people. But anyway, I've kind of gotten a little bit off there, but I wanted to share, just as I say, who knows exactly how it will all play out. But mankind is looking for a savior to save us from ourselves, you know, from environmental problems, from capitalism, or some of these other evil things that the liberals want to scare you about, you know, because there's so many people that are sheeple that don't think things through. They don't know the Bible, and they don't realize that the history of lies that come from liberalism, of course. So anyway, getting back to, speaking of liberals, get back to, this is the book, An Inconvenient Truth, The Crisis of Global Warming, and this was, of course, a New York Times bestseller by Al Gore, and in the book, one of the pages, there is a quote, almost all of the mountain glaciers in the world are now melting, many of them quite rapidly. All right. But then, here's an article from Natural News. It says, 10 years ago, Al Gore warned the North Polar ice cap would be gone by the year 2013. Hint, it's still there. And where are we at now? 2019, is it? Oh, that's right. And the North Polar ice cap would be gone. So the prophet Al Gore, in Old Testament times, probably would have been taken out and stoned to death, but I'm not, I'm not promoting that, of course. I'm just saying. Just saying, as the old expression goes. But in the article, I like to read it, it's a short article, when Al Gore told a German audience in 2008, by the way, I think Al Gore invented the internet too, if my memory serves me correctly, but anyway, I'm joking. I believe he implied or said that he did. I can't imagine anybody actually saying it, unless you had a part in actually doing it. But anyway, Al Gore, he is American treasure. When Al Gore told a German audience in 2008 that the ice cap on the North Pole would be gone in 5 years, many people were alarmed. It's something he had been saying for years, and he somehow had enough credibility that lots of people took his words at face value. If he was right, it should be long gone by now, and yet somehow it's still there. In fact, when 2013 did roll around, the polar ice cap was reportedly at its highest level since 2006. NASA satellite photos taken in August 2014 showed a 60% increase in the size of the polar ice cap, reaching more than half the size of Europe, a far cry from being completely melted. Shouldn't the opposite be happening if global warming is real? He has repeated some variation of this headline-grabbing prediction time and time again. In January 2006, for example, he said that within the next 10 years, the world will reach a point of no return. Now, where have we heard that before? That Rio and Beyond Earth Summit. We may not have a chance. You know, this thing, it's a good thing this is happening. I think Maurice Strong said that, you know, in 1992, this may be the last chance. We're running out of time here. This is the alarmist hysteria that you hear from the left, from the Marxists, from the globalists, etc. He was saying this. He said that within the next 10 years, the world will reach a point of no return, emphasizing his belief that global warming could cause a true planetary emergency. Interestingly, the climatologist whose work was the basis of this prediction, Dr. Wieslaw Maslowski, refuted Gore's claims in 2009, saying, "It's unclear to me how this figure was arrived at. I would never try to estimate likelihood at anything as exact as this." He also said that he was very clear about the fact that he did not expect the Northern Ocean to be completely ice-free at that time. This story serves to illustrate how some computer models get it all wrong. After all, they're set up by people. People with biases and people who can be paid to make it say whatever they want it to say. The final paragraph of this article. What it all boils down is the fact that global warming is more of a political concept, than a scientific one. And that's what I've been trying to show you, of course, the last couple podcasts here, the last few podcasts. And science is merely used to lend it an air of authenticity. Even with all the technology available to us today, meteorologists still can't give us a definitive answer about whether or not it will rain a few days from now. So it stands to reason that these doomsday global warming projections for years and decades from now are equally unreliable. Okay, well, I'm just about out of time, folks. We've looked at three current events. We're going to look at the fourth next week as yet another part of the coming one world religion. And this is a New Age event that happened recently out in Los Angeles. Anyway, I'll be talking to you about that next week.